Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
10 to 6, Friday evening, Tom Swarbrick here on LBC means one thing. With just minutes to go until we give you ways to make yourself richer via the investment session, we take you to the richest form of storytelling anywhere on the dial. From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, there is no bigger holiday on the American calendar than Thanksgiving. This year, as Americans were gearing up for it on Wednesday afternoon, many of them may already have been struggling to determine exactly what they are thankful for these days. And then came breaking news that would overshadow the holiday and further subdue certainly everyone here in Washington, D.C.
We are coming on the air with breaking news now. The Homeland Security Secretary, Kristi Noem, says two members of the National Guard have been shot here in Washington. The details are still coming in, but this is developing as we speak.
Many people were walking down saying service members were just shot, National Guardsmen, so there was a concern. Our restaurant was put on lockdown. Many places were put on lockdown. Obviously, we're so close to the White House that it was immediate lockdown with them, and then other businesses were doing the same thing.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Kash Patel, FBI Director. Two of our brave members of the National Guard and the Department of War were brazenly attacked in a horrendous act of violence. They were shot. They're in critical condition. As you can see behind me, we have assembled the full force of both the federal and state and local law enforcement agencies to bring bear all of our resources to make sure we find the perpetrators responsible for this heinous act.
One of those two National Guard members, Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom, died of her injuries last night. She was only 20. Her colleague, also from the West Virginia National Guard, remains in critical condition. The alleged perpetrator was rapidly caught, also seriously injured, after being shot by another member of the National Guard. 29-year-old Rahmanullah Lakhanwal is an Afghan living in the United States since September 2021. He was admitted here as the Biden administration hastily sought to provide some level of protection for the thousands of Afghans who had worked supporting U.S. forces during America's longest war and who needed protection from the Taliban as they swept back into power after President Biden's entirely botched military withdrawal from the country. The fact that Mr. Lakhanwal is an Afghan, allowed into America by President Trump's predecessor, and allegedly attacked National Guard troops that the president falsely claims are needed to deal with a non-existent crime wave in Washington, well, the tragedy is a perfect political storm for America's leader as he celebrates Thanksgiving this weekend in Florida.
This attack underscores the single greatest national security threat facing our nation. The last administration let in 20 million unknown and unvetted foreigners from all over the world, from places that you don't want to even know about. No country can tolerate such a risk to our very survival.
Now, just on the facts, because it is important to stick to them, the suspect in the shooting was not admitted unknown and unvetted. He had worked for a CIA-backed military unit in Afghanistan, and like more than 77,000 others in a similar boat, had been allowed to enter the United States for 2 years, during which time it is thought that he may have applied for permanent asylum. Since January, President Trump has placed the future of more than 200,000 Afghans in America in limbo, halting every program designed to give them and their families a chance to remain in the United States. And he notably played fast and loose when Libby Dean, a reporter from News Nation TV, tried to get to the bottom of Mr. Lakhanwal's legal status.
Of course, you just detailed that this suspect was flown in under the Biden administration.
Yeah.
But was he granted asylum under your administration?
When it comes to asylum, when they're flown in, it's very hard to get them out. No matter how you want to do it, it's very hard to get them out. But we're going to be getting them all out now.
An answer, of course, to a question she did not ask. But it is clear that every single Afghan living in America on anything less than a U.S. passport now faces a very uncertain future. Hundreds of thousands of them could soon be at risk of being rounded up and booted out by President Trump's masked and thuggish deportation forces, then returned to Taliban-controlled Kabul to take their chances. The president announced last night that permanent legal residents with coveted green cards from 19 separate countries are also now going to be investigated at a time, of course, when America's doors are closed to all refugees except white South Africans. And in another exchange with a reporter yesterday, the president indicated he doesn't care very much about the details.
There was no vetting or anything. They came in unvetted. And we have a lot of others in this country. We're going to get them out. But they go cuckoo. Something
Actually,
happens to them.
Your DOJ IG just reported this year that there was thorough vetting by DHS and by the FBI of these Afghans who were brought into the U.S. So why do you blame the Biden administration
because
for what this man did?
Are you stupid? Are you a stupid person? Because they came into on a plane along with thousands of other people that shouldn't be here. And you're just asking questions because you're a stupid person.
Nancy Cordes of CBS there, becoming at least the fourth female White House reporter to have been disparaged by the president in the last fortnight. One of them he referred to as Piggy. Another, who co-wrote an article for the New York Times that he didn't like about his health, was described as ugly both inside and out. By the way, on his health, we still don't know why he had an MRI several weeks ago, nor why he keeps falling asleep at White House events. But back to Washington. He's deploying another 500 National Guard on the streets here, despite the fact that a judge has ruled the entire deployment, dating back to August, is illegal. Just to be clear, they were put on the streets by President Trump to deal with a violent crime wave, even though violent crime is at a 30-year low here. Mostly, they've been wandering around, cleaning up trash, manicuring some of the city's parks, patrolling the subway here looking bored, and patronizing the city's coffee and pastry shops. For this, at least, one 20-year-old has now lost her life.
Anybody who chooses to speak about this attack has to, as humans, start from a place of unequivocal condemnation.
Joseph Azam is with the Afghan American Council.
It has been absolutely disgraceful to see our political leaders, to see members of the media, and even members of the general public using this moment of tremendous pain and agony and fear in our country as an opportunity to create division, to scapegoat Afghans, to scapegoat American Muslims, to scapegoat Muslims, to scapegoat immigrants, to scapegoat anybody. It has been absolutely disgraceful and not surprising to see that playbook is immediately being deployed in response to this horrific attack against two young Americans.
Indeed, but the president is only just getting started. The other big news of the week was the astonishing behavior of the president's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, in a conversation with a top Kremlin official that was leaked to Bloomberg News. Mr. Witkoff coaches Putin aide Yuri Ushakov on how to formulate proposals about the war in Ukraine that would look appealing to the U.S. president. We also know that the 28-point peace plan that Mr. Witkoff touted as President Trump's was in fact largely a Russian document that, and I am not making this up, Mr. Witkoff appears to have run through some online translation software before making a couple of tweaks and then sticking an American crest atop it. Witkoff's pro-Russian sympathies having been so nakedly revealed, America's pro-Russian president is, of course, standing by him.
That's a standard thing, you know, because he's going to sell this to Ukraine. He's going to sell Ukraine to Russia. That's what a deal maker does. You got to say, look, they want this. You got to convince them with this. You know, that's a very standard form form of negotiation.
Again, just to be clear on the facts, there is nothing standard about Mr. Witkoff's behaviour. And a reminder, we're talking about a real estate mogul who has conceded that when he was first appointed by President Trump to run point between Washington and the Kremlin, he mugged up about foreign affairs by watching documentaries on Netflix. So he's not exactly schooled in the art of diplomacy. There was one event in the last week that proved far more diplomatic than I think any of us imagined. A face-to-face meeting in the White House last Friday afternoon between President Trump and newly elected mayor of New York, Zoran Mamdani, a democratic socialist the president has relentlessly branded as a communist and insisted he would seek to undermine at every turn.
Would you feel comfortable living in New York City under a Mamdani administration?
Yeah, I would. I really would. Especially after the meeting. Absolutely.
What makes you comfortable?
We agree on a lot more than I would have thought. I want him to do a great job, and we'll help him do a great job.
Now, it is hard to stress what a screech of tires moment that was. The president had relentlessly warned during the election campaign that Mamdani was a radical leftist out to destroy New York, warned that if he was elected, his administration would cut all government expenditure to the city, said any Jewish voters in the Big Apple who voted for Mamdani would be stupid people for assisting the man who, on New Year's Eve, will become the first Muslim mayor of the city. And Mamdani, well, he had called Donald Trump a despot and a fascist. I have no idea how to explain this next clip.
Are you affirming that you think President Trump is a fascist?
I've spoken about...
That's okay. You can just say yes.
Okay.
It's easier. It's easier than explaining it. I don't mind.
Note to self, President Trump doesn't mind being called a fascist. I'm going to keep that one in the back pocket, Tom, for the moment when I may need it.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.